So I want to read a verse. This is what you just saw. And I appreciate Brother Perry, the message he brought. I'd rather have Jesus. Amen. But you stay in Philippians, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul writes and says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you were." That's what you just witnessed. I bless the Lord. He took us down the road with the Lord Jesus. And it thrilled my soul every step of the way.
Amen.
But now I want us to just stop off on the side and visit with a man named Paul. And he's in prison. He too went down the road with the Lord Jesus. Brother Perry, it meant prison for him. It meant sacrifice for him. And I want to look in chapter 1 and we're going to look at his prayer. But you know why Paul could pray in prison as he does? Because he prayed long before he ever went to prison. And he prayed again. And then he prayed again. And God prepared him for prison long before he ever went there. Then I hear James and he writes and he says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, the effectual man in this day for the Lord Jesus Christ will be a fervent man. But the fervent man will be a praying man. And a praying man will be a righteous man. All because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you would look to chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 8. Here Paul writes, and he's writing with encouragement to the saints in these first 11 verses. But verse 8 he says, "For God is my record." God is my record. "How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Let me pause. God was Paul's record. He was serving in the fear of God. But then he said, "How I long after you all in the bowels." He was serving in the love of Christ. And he could call God to his record. Verse 9. And here's our text. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." He says, "And this I pray." Do you pray? Do I pray? "And this I pray." Here's what he prays. That your love. He has a prayer in prison for their love. "That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And so as you go to study these words, he wanted their love to be superabounding in quantity and in quality. But Brother Bearden, then he qualifies it. Here's where your love needs to abound. He says, "More and more in knowledge and in all judgment." So their love then was to grow in its recognition, in its knowledge. Where's that going to come? By the Word of God. Their love was to be guarded by the Scriptures. And then their love was to abound more and more in all judgment. Where would the judgment come from? It would come from God's Spirit. "Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor?" Paul said, "But we have the mind of Christ." Paul says, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." And so what he says is, "I am praying for your love, that God would grow your love more and more, but then that He would guide it by the knowledge of His Word, and then that He would guard it by the judgment of His Spirit." Why? So that they could approve things that are excellent. The word "approve" means that they would be able to test things. You see, one of the most fearful responsibilities of the pastor is that he would take those people and turn their eyes upon Christ, and one day at the judgment seat present as mature a saint as God would let him present. So that when they're out of the church house, when they're no longer in a mom and daddy's roof, when they're no longer around the preacher, they can see things coming their way and they can approve those things that are excellent. And so that once they came to this place where their love was full of knowledge and their love was full of judgment, they could now discern, they could now approve things. And as you study that word "approve," it means that they would put things to the test. And it comes from a word which deals with the process where they took those metals, those minerals, those ores, and they would put them under the fire, they would put them under the light, they would put them to the test so they could verify the quality, amen, and the quantity rather, of the quality precious metal in that ore. And then they would extract it, and you know what they would make with it? Currency. Something with value. Something with worth. Something that'll get you down the road. Something that'll put something in the cupboards. Something that'll put clothes on the kids. So what we need to do is we need to understand that our love in this life that comes from the Lord, it's going to be guided by His Word. It's going to be guarded by the Spirit of God. And so the love that we hear talked about in this day by other circles, not in this type of church here, it's not true love. Because when we grow in our love, I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians, but that love that we're to grow in and abound in one toward another, the end of that love is holiness. Okay? But then, but the point of that is this, as your love grows, you begin to approve things. You get spiritual discernment. And Brother Harvey, the truest picture here, let me back up, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So there you're to prove the good things and the bad things. But here he says approve things that are excellent. It's finding the best things over the good things. Brother Bearden, there's some good things that I could do for God, but what's the best thing He has for me? So young people, hear me. There's some good girls, Brother Jimmy, but there's the best girl for you. There's some good men, young ladies, but find the best man, and that man is God's man. Don't settle for good things. Find God's best. Hey, say with Brother Tyler, I'd rather have Jesus more than anything, more than anyone. Give me the Lord Jesus. Approve things that are excellent. Amen. He says that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. This is a prayer for their lives here in verse 10. That ye may be sincere. As I study that word, it means that something's been brought into the light. It means that it's judged by sunlight. You know what happens at my truck? I think the window's clean till the daylight comes in. See how filthy that window is. I thought that thing was clean. Paul said, I want you to be of such Christian virtue that you're not afraid to walk out into the light. You know, I find that when I just stop long enough to get into His presence, He turns on the light. He says, "Are you sincere? Why are you doing what you're doing?" Is it for them or is it for me? He starts to work these things in my heart.
Amen.
And He says, don't find the good things. Just wait on me. I'll give you the best things. And then He reminds me that I do need to be a Christian of a testing sort, that I would test things. But that I would be a Christian of a true sort. That I would be sincere. One who's passed inspection. One who's come through the test of His light. One who's right in His sight. That's what matters. You see the best in me today. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
I put on my suit and tie, tried to comb my hair, but He knows me.
Right.
He knows if I'm sincere.
Yes.
He knows if I'm without offense.
Yes.
Paul said, I want you to be sincere and without offense. This means that you're not being led off into sin. But it also means that you're not leading others into sin. Somebody's watching, Brother Jimmy. Somebody's watching, Brother Sexton. Somebody's watching, folks. Let's be children of God that are walking in sincerity, that are walking in righteousness, lest we offend God and offend others and cause someone else to stumble into sin, or worse off, stumble into hell.
Amen.
Amen.
He says that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Paul lived his life with his eye on the sky. He had his ear up against that. I don't know if he was in, I didn't study that part out, if he was in the old dungeon or if he was in house arrest. I'm not sure. But wherever he was, he had his ear tuned toward heaven. He was listening for the shout. He said, I want you to be sincere with offense all the way till the day that He comes. For one day the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the ark, with the temple of God, with the voice of the archangel, the shout of God. I messed that whole verse up, but He's coming. And Paul said, I want you to be right all the way home. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise, unto the glory and praise of God. Here's a prayer for their Lord. That's what He said at the end. Unto the glory and praise of God. But back up to the first of that verse, verse 11. If they would let the Lord work these things in their lives, Paul said, you'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Here's the product of this prayer. It's a life of good works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we glory in these verses. Hallelujah. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we go on into verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hey, we're a product of His own making. We are His workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus. We're a product of His own mercy. We are His new creation. But hey, we're a product of His mind. Long before He founded the world, He already predetermined that God's people should walk in good works.
Amen.
Why? For the Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. James had it right. Don't talk about your faith. Show me your faith by your works. The world can't see our faith unless they see our works. And when they see our works, they see our faith, and they can too come to learn who our Father is.
Amen.
Paul said, filled with the fruits of righteousness. Good works, right living, equity, fairness, the word means. that which the Holy Ghost produces, which leads on into the next phrase, which are by Jesus Christ. You know where the fruits of righteousness come in the life of the saint? By Him. By the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, now speaking of Christ, now of Him, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's everything we need.
Amen.
He's all we have. He's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's all we have, but I learned He's all I need.
Amen.
And everything I need, I find in Him.
Amen.
That, the next verse, that according as it is written. Don't ever stray away from as it is written.
Amen.
He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 9, the context there is that the wise man, don't let him glory in his wisdom. Don't let anybody glory in their wisdom. Don't let anybody glory in their riches. But let him glory in this, that he knows the Lord. Amen? But then he says this, unto the glory and praise of God. A life that glorifies God. Now unto the King eternal. And I'm finishing up, brother. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what the thrust of the Apostle Paul's life was, Brother Perry? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I'd rather have Jesus sitting in the prison cell. He said, oh Lord, help me help those church folks. God, I want them to love You. God, I want them to live for You. And then He said, Lord, to Your glory, for Your praise, if we would live lives of good works, then we could have lives that glorify Him. And then at the end of the day, when we stand before the judgment seat, which I believe is in His mind, it's not an entrance exam. It's the final exam. Not whether or not you made it in, but the crowns you're going to receive. But here's a prayer to pass inspection. That's what Paul's prayer was for the saints at Philippi. Bless you, brother.
My, wasn't that good this morning? Well, let's stand to our feet. Maybe somebody needs to respond to the message. I don't know. I don't know what God's doing in hearts and lives. And so just bow your head a minute. If you need to respond, would you please be obedient to the Spirit of God?